If you're here, very first time to City Light Church, real big welcome to you. If you didn't receive a welcome package, please make sure you pick one up. And fill it out. There's a couple of gifts in there for you. Just want to know who came and want to thank you for coming. So great to have you this morning. We're on a series called, does anybody know what it's called? Healthy Homes, Healthy Church, right? And so that's the essence of what we're talking about. And this morning, I'm going to fit in line. This message kind of fits into that theme. And I'm going to talk about one of Jesus' greatest stories, okay? So my message today is called God's Undeserved Invitation. But before we start, let's bow our heads, let's pray, let's ask God's blessing on the word. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for the power of your word. You are the living word, Jesus. And when we receive your word, and we agree with your word, we agree in faith, it has power to change our life. It's power to glorify you. But the challenge of your word that James gives us is not just to hear the word, but is to do the word. To look at that word intently and say, I want to apply that word. Help us to put feet to the words that we hear today. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen. Amen. God's undeserved invitation. Jesus was the greatest storyteller ever, right? And he loved telling stories called parables. And so we're going to look at a parable. But first of all, let me set the scene for when Jesus gave this parable. When Jesus gave this parable, he was actually sitting in a home of a very prominent religious leader called a Pharisee. And it was like after church, and he's having this meal with this religious leader. And they're kind of talking back and forth. And as they're talking back and forth, Jesus gives a story, and he tells a story in Luke's Gospel chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. Now, let me just back up. Jesus said it wasn't just any man. It was a certain man. Now, if you understand, this certain man was a very influential man. He was a very powerful man. He was also a very wealthy man. He's known as to be a master with a huge household, many servants, right? Now, he was holding not just a little party, not just an event, but what? A great banquet. Banquet. That means it was formal. That means it was expensive. That there was no expenses spared for this event. And it took a long time to prepare it. So a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of this banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. Everything is now ready. This is a picture of the kingdom of God. This is a picture of God himself. And this is a picture of how God relates to us as people. He is preparing a great meal for every one of us. He sent the invitation to every one of us. And this invitation is undeserved. It is unmerited. It is unearned. It's full of grace. Right? Full of grace. And it's like God is saying, my doors are wide open. And everyone who wants to come is invited. Now, in verse 18, it says, goes on to tell a story. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said, I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Oh, I've just bought a revenue property. And it's a fantastic revenue property up in the mountains. And I just got to spend some time looking it over and seeing what I could do with it. So please excuse me. And another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen. And I'm on my way to try them out. You know, I own a trucking company. I bought a brand new fleet of trucks, and I want to spend some time driving them and using them. Please excuse me. And still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. Well, we just bought a brand new house and we're hanging a curtain, so we're just busy. Sorry, we can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry, and he ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done. It's already been done. But there is still room. Now listen to this. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. This is an undeserved invitation. He had a preset list of chosen, invited guests who did not want to come. And so, he illogically, undeservedly, gives the invitation to anyone, anywhere to come. Right? This is a picture of the kingdom of heaven. This is a picture of God himself. Right? Now, the people that Jesus was telling this story to would have had a hard time listening to this story, because they were Jewish, they were the Israelites, they were the chosen people of God. They looked like the chosen frozen, right? They, throughout history, and through the law, they were known to be God's chosen people. Whoops, there was just an exclamation mark on that statement, right? Okay. But now, here's Jesus, God in the flesh. And he arrives upon the scene, and he opens it up to everyone. Jews, Gentiles, anyone, anywhere to come. He's saying the doors are wide open, and every single person is invited. Wow. That's a picture of God, right? Here's a good question. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been invited to a prominent event by some important person or celebrity, right? I mean, a really prominent person has invited you to this great event. Who's a prominent person? Who can you think of? How about Oprah? Oprah, the wealthiest woman in the world. Most well-known woman in the world, right? At this time. And she sends you a personal written invitation with her signature on it and says, you are invited to my special event, my television show. You're one of my very special guests. And on the way, oh, by the way, it's all expenses paid. And by the way, there are gifts I'm going to send you along the way. And when you get there, I've got a surprise gift for you. What would you do? Right? You'd be on your Facebook. You'd be on your phone, Facebooking and Twittering. Wow, this is crazy. I got this invitation, right? Or maybe it's Justin Bieber. It's amazing how many people like Justin Bieber. You know, maybe Justin Bieber sends you an invite and sends you two of the best tickets to his latest, greatest show. And it's away somewhere in North America, and all the expenses are paid, and it's front row center. What would you do? Right? Or maybe it's Bono or Garth Brooks, whatever your musical genre might be, right? What would you do? Would you turn that invitation down? No, you wouldn't. You'd cancel stuff that you had planned for the week. You'd cancel work. You'd cancel school. You'd even postpone your wedding and say, I'm going to make that, and I'm going to I'm going to respond to that invitation. I'm going to do it. I'm going to that party, right? But here's this in the story. Here's the master in the story. And he's given an invitation. And it's far beyond and the wildest, best invitation you could ever get by anyone on earth, right? You see, this invitation that he is giving is an invitation to the kingdom of heaven. Wow. The kingdom of heaven. And people are turning it down. And the reality is, even today in this world, people will turn it down. You see? We've got to know the heart of God. You see, in this story, on your PowerPoint, the heart and the nature of God himself is one of inclusion. He includes everyone. Includes everyone. Every single one of us has access to the kingdom of heaven. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. It's free. It's by the grace of God, by receiving Christ into our heart, right? You know, at City Light Church, here at City Light, we want everyone to be encouraged to move forward in their life, move into the blessings and the promises of God, right? We want every one of you to do that. We want you to keep on advancing. Why? Because God has good things for you. No matter what kind of troubles and disappointments you had in the past, God has something more for you. Amen? He's got more. There's more for you. So keep on moving ahead with God, right? We believe that at City Light. We also believe that at City Light, that God has more people that he wants to add. Always. To this church family. Do you believe that? He wants to act. That's the heart of God. And the reality is that God has given us this incredibly undeserved invitation, right? So now we, in turn, our response should be that we should extend this undeserved invitation to everyone around us. Amen? We should do that. We should just give it back to people, right? So, like God, I want you to consider everyone that this invitation is for absolutely everybody, right? And on your PowerPoint, God leads the way, right? He leads the way, and now he wants us to extend this undeserved invitation to every person that we come in contact with. Recent statistics say that 80% of people, I'm talking unchurched people, 80% of unchurched people would come to church if somebody invited them. Do you know that? That's an amazing stat. 80% of unchurched people would actually come if you and I invited them. You want to hear another stat? 70% of unchurched people say they have never received an invitation by somebody to go to church. That's amazing, isn't it? Wow, we've got a lot of work to do, right? So this week, I want to challenge myself. I want to challenge you, right? And this is the purpose of preaching, isn't it? It's to cause our thinking to come into line with God's word, isn't it? So let me ask you a couple questions. It's a question I ask myself. Have you become complacent in some areas of your life? Have you? Have you stopped actively inviting unchurched people? Have you stopped reaching out to people who really need Jesus? It's a good question, isn't it? We need to be challenged. You see, God wants, this is on your part, and this is so obvious, God wants us to reach the lost, the hurting, and the broken, people who don't know anything about God and his kingdom. He wants us to do that. He expects us to do that, right? So, I want to give you four aspects of this undeserving invitation from the Master, that the story that Jesus is telling. And I want you to really kind of listen to it and then apply it to your own heart. Okay, number one. Ready? Number one, don't base your invitations on what seems reasonable to you. The Bible tells us that we're to live by faith, right? That we're to live by faith and not by our own human reasoning. Right? In fact, the Bible tells us that without faith, we can't even please God. You've got to have faith. You see, the essence of inviting people, I say the essence of faith is that it is unreasonable at times. In other words, it's inconvenient and sometimes it's uncomfortable to move and to act in faith. Isn't that right? It takes faith to make the invitation. It's uncomfortable sometimes. It's not always convenient. Right? But I believe that you and I, we have a moral obligation to preach the gospel to anyone that we come in contact with because of the grace that we've received. We're called to give grace to others. Amen? I believe that. You know, we believe in Jesus, don't we? We all believe in Jesus. We believe that He's the Son of God. We believe He's God in the flesh. Right? And we say amen to that. Right? We also believe that heaven and hell are very real places. Don't we believe that? If we believe that, then we will take hold. We will take hold of the call, the moral obligation to extend God's kingdom to anybody who comes in here, except flies. Isn't that right? Say amen? To every single person who comes into here, anytime, anywhere, anyone. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke's Gospel 14:21. He said, Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. This is a picture. This is a picture of us. This is a picture of the way that we came into the kingdom of God. None of us had it all together. None of us did. We came in broken. We came in hurt. We came in needing help. We came in just the way we were. Amen? And God's grace, God's mercy, God's goodness, right, received us exactly the way we were. Amen? But then He put us into this process. This process, this where He began to put our lives back together, little by little, right? And He began to heal us. He began to make us whole. That's what He does. But He does it as we continue to show up, as we continue to be faithful year after year and even beyond. And when we're faithful and we show up and we're together, it's amazing what God can do in us. Amen? That's the power of being together too as well. And I was listening to this podcast by a very well-known business guy, and he was talking about selling. He has an incredible track record of sales and success. And he said this, when you have a product or service to offer that, and he was talking to salespeople and entrepreneurs, and he said, when you have a product or service to offer that genuinely meets a need or a niche, then you have a moral obligation to sell that product, right? So when you have that type of conviction, when you sense that what you have to offer or sell will be really useful, that it can be extremely valuable to people, then you have a moral obligation to sell that product to your target market, right? And of course, that person is Zig Ziglar. So then the question is, how much more, as God's ambassador, that's us, as God's ambassadors, how much more do we have the moral obligation to give the invitation for people to come to Christ to every single person that we come in contact with? Amen? What we have to sell, what we have to say, is so powerful, is so life-changing, is so eternal, is so significant. is so important, it's so vital, that nothing should hold us back from telling people about Jesus. Amen? Extend His kingdom to anyone who comes our way. And our invitation is not just for the likely candidates. It's for the good. It's for bad people. It's for the good, for the bad, even for those who are indifferent. Amen? Number two, don't base your invitations on past experiences. I don't know about you, but I've had some good experiences. I've had some past experiences. I think we've all had bad past experiences, right? When sharing the gospel, inviting people to Jesus. But I want to tell you, don't let the bad experiences stop you from giving the invitation. Because you never know who's going to respond to it, right? You might be surprised. You're going to be surprised who responds to it, and you're going to be surprised who doesn't respond to it, right? But don't base your invites on your reasoning. Oh, yeah, Joe, my next neighbor next door, oh, he's so wild, he's never going to receive Christ. I don't think it's even worth telling him. Don't base it on your reasoning, right? You never know who will come to Christ through your invitation, right? Extend your invitation to everybody around you. Number three, stay committed. Stay committed to taking action, actively inviting people in fresh ways. It's not just, I have to get in front of that person's face and I got to just start talking about Jesus or just invite them to church. No, there's fresh ways that you can approach the invitation, right? And I've shared this before, but 2 or 3 years ago, my neighbor who lived next door was really struggling in his health. Always did struggle. He was in his 70s, retired. And he had came from a religious background. I think he was Catholic. And so we were, at this time, I think even in our church, we were selling some of these books called Heaven is for Real. Have you read that book, Heaven is for Real? You know? And we sold out. I bought 20 or 21. Boom, they were just gone. And I gave him, my neighbor, one of these books. And he went to the hospital and he was reading that book. And God really spoke to him through that message and softened his heart. And when I came to him, I said, Ken, you know, you don't know how much time you have here on earth, but you know heaven is a real place, isn't it? I said, did you read the book? He says, yeah, I read the book. I said, would you like to receive Jesus into your heart right now? He says, yes. And led him to the sinner's prayer. And he got born again. And about a month later, he passed away. You know? Wow, it's just a book that just kind of opened up his heart. This summer, maybe it's just an invite. Invite your neighbor to your backyard barbecue. Your barbecue on a deck. Invite him. You know? You got some friends over? Invite your neighbor too as well. Or maybe, what else can you do? Invite them to, you know, when we have divorce care and you know that somebody is just going through a separation divorce and they're really struggling, invite them to divorce care. Or when we're doing grief share and they're really struggling, lost a loved one, you know, invite them. Or maybe invite their kids to our camp. Give them an invitation. And through that invitation, they're going to hear the gospel and they could get saved, right? Give the invitation. There are all kinds of different ways that you can give the invitation. So stay committed to taking action in fresh ways. You never know how God will use that simple invitation. Luke's Gospel 14:23. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in. Do you hear that? See that word compel? Compel is a strong word, isn't it? Compel means to urge, to earnestly, persistently persuade something to do someone, do something. Synonyms: to force, to pressure, to push, to urge. That's why Jesus is saying, oh, just, you know, like we just don't say, hey, would you like to come? No. Oh, okay. Well, I'll never talk to that guy again. No. He's saying, you know, make that approach in a different way. Keep on talking to him. Connect with that person. Persuade that person. Don't give up on that person, right? If that person is your neighbor, you have a moral responsibility to preach the gospel to your neighbor. Let them know about Jesus. Don't let your neighbor go to hell because you didn't teach the gospel to them, right? Well, stroke that comment out of there, right? I'm not going to convict you. But, you know, we need to preach the gospel to every single person that we come into contact, right? Our church, as a goal, our church is to be missional. Every church is to be on a mission. Every Christian is a missionary. We're on a mission, right? And we're always saying, we're always asking, come and see. Come and see. Come and see how good God is, right? Come to church. Come and see how great church can be, right? You know, Romans 10, go and read that chapter. It says, you know, how are people ever going to get saved unless they hear the gospel message, right? How are they going to even, you know, how are they going to hear unless somebody is, unless they're sent? You know, God is sending us today, right? We're here to preach the gospel message. We're God's hands, we're His feet, and we're also His voice, aren't we? Number four, last one. Well ahead of time. It's not even 11:30 yet. Number four. This is a little bit longer point, okay? I'm going to add a few little sub-points. All right, number four. Never give up on the Master to use your story so that His house will be full. Never give up on the Master to use your story. Every single one of us has a story. It's a story that when we tell it, somebody is going to get something out of that story. It's going to relate to somebody, right? And I'm just in, and God says, tell your story so that My house will be full. He's talking about the church, the physical house. He's talking the church will be full. And He's also talking about the house in eternity. Both houses will be full. You know what? They're synonymous. They're the same thing. So that My house will be full. And I say, when you tell your story, somebody else is going to see themselves in the story. Right? So I'm telling you, three things. Go out. Go out with God's eye. Look at people with the way that God would look at them, right? Don't look at people as an inconvenience. Like, get out of my way. You're standing in line. Five people in line. I wish to get out of the way so that I can get my Tim's coffee, right? That's not the right attitude. Go with God's. Just start talking. I love standing in line. I love standing in line. I actually do. Like, if I'm in a real hurry, you know, but I love standing in line because I like to talk to people. People are the most interesting, exciting things that God has ever created. When we go to Hawaii, the scenery is beautiful, but I like the people. Right? God wants you to like people, to have a view for people, the way He looks at it, and the way He responds to them. Right? We need to have God's eye. So be intentional. Who can I share my story to? An opportunity will sooner or later will come up. Right? Second thing, connect. Just start connecting with people. Just connect. Just say hello to that person you never talked to in your workplace. Just go to the neighbor's house beyond, next door, and say, hey, I'm so-and-so. Connect. We were moving Jay's stuff last week to the west side. He's in Calgary moving stuff so that his wife, to-be, is going to come. But anyway, we moved some stuff to his house on the west side. And this guy comes running over and said, hey, are you guys moving in? So friendly. I thought, wow, that's the way we Christians need to be. Oh, I'm so-and-so. Hey, you know. I said, well, we're just moving stuff. Oh, wow, you know. But, you know, just make the contact. Just start making simple contacts. 2 seconds. Just sometimes 2 seconds. 3 seconds. 5 seconds there. 10, 15 seconds. A minute or two later, maybe a month later. Make the contacts. And then pretty soon you start making friends. And friends are the most valuable, most important things that you could ever have on earth. Amen? Some of my best friends are my neighbors. I could tell you what my neighbor has offered us. It'd be amazing. Make contacts. And out of those contacts, you will make good friends. I was reading an article by Jim Rohn. He's a very successful entrepreneur. He's passed away, but in this article he's talking about, he's asking certain people who are doing really well in life. They're very successful. And I'm not just money-wise, but they're happy, they're fulfilled in life, and they're doing so well. And he asked these half a dozen people the same question. What is, share just one thing That's the key to your success, to your happiness. Just to share one thing. You know, every single one of those people ended up saying, in a little different way, the same thing. You know what they said? The key to life, the key to success in life, is to just be good. Just be nice to other people. Right? In other words, point B, be other person centered. Be other person centered. Give out. I love what Zig Ziglar says. What does he say? You can have everything you want in life. You can have everything in life you want if you just help enough other people get what they want. Isn't that great? It's a key principle to success. It's the key to success. And you know where it starts? It starts right here, right in the church family. That's what the Word of God says. Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the what? Family of believers. That's you. He's talking about the local church family. Starts there. You know, right now our small groups, at least our men's group, is shut down for the summer. But every week that we met, I would always ask this question. The same question, maybe in slightly different ways. The question is this: what's happening in your life? So we'd have all these men, we'd have 16, 17 guys lined up, right? And we'd ask this question: so what's happening in your life? What is the best thing that's happening in life? Or what's the worst thing in your life? What's happening in your life right now? In other words, share your story. Tell us what's happening. And so we just go around the room, just 2 or 3 minutes, just share it. You know what happens? We get to know each other. See, you need to get to know each other if you're going to help someone. It's the only way you can help someone. The only way you can help someone is if you get to know them, right? It's so important. It starts when you get to know your people, when you know other people. That's why we say allow your story to be used every week here at church to help someone. Share what's happening in your life. Share the victories. Even share the struggles. Sometimes people don't want to hear the victories. They want to hear your struggles because they think, you know what? I'm no different than anybody else. If they can make it and they're going through it, I can too as well. Sometimes the greatest encouragement is when you pour your heart out and say, man, I'm really going through it. Amen? Share your story. Right? Every week. So, next point. Every week that you can, show up at church. I should say that. I mean, speaking to people that should be here, right? Every week, try to show up. When we unite together as a church, man, we can change the world. We can change the world. You know, I realize a lot of people can't get past this. A lot of people will just show up to church this week or that week and say, you know, well, here I am, I'm just checking in, and then they're gone. You know? If you're like that, you know what? You are missing out on the power of what God's kingdom is all about. See, the church is the very thing that Jesus wants us to build our life around. You know that? Church is the thing that God wants us to build our life along. He wants to use your life to bring hope to the world. He wants to use your life to advance His kingdom. Amen? So you need to be here, right? We need to be here. We need to be together. You know, we don't go to church, right? What's that saying? We don't go to the church. We are the church. We are the church, and we are better together, right? We are better together. That's why we need to be together. Collectively, we have more power than we'd ever have on our own. I'm going to show you how that works, right? How much more powerful it is when we're together. Point C, and that's why we urge you. That's why we keep on pressing you. Find ways to get involved. Find ways to get involved in the church, right? Serve in some area of ministry. Join a small group. Join a small group. Fall time's coming up. You're not a part of a small group. Join a small group, right? September the 10th is our fall lounge. Join a small group. Find community. Say community. Start caring for other people, getting to know other people, right? Really get to know people. It's the only way that you're going to help other people, right? See, point C is find ways to get involved. Get connected, right? I want you to look at this picture. This picture. What do you see there, right? I mean, you see emptiness. You see paint. You see steel. You see concrete, right? What do you see? That's what you see, right? So let's compare that picture with this picture. What's the difference between those two pictures? You know what it is? It's the power of people showing up. It's the power of people showing up, cheering on the home team, right? It's the power of noise. The power of people just coming together, isn't it? Right? They say that it's amazing that when you get into that environment, the noise can be so loud that you can't even have a conversation with your neighbor, right? Seth, you're going to find out, you guys, when you go to Seattle, right? Too bad the Jays aren't playing, right? But it's the power of people. You know, it's like our worship service times 1,000, right? For 3 hours long, isn't it? That's the power. When people come together, it's amazing the power of people's voices, just people just being there. It's really significant, isn't it? You know? Show that next picture. Wow, I mean, it's like a sea of people, right? I mean, I'd love to be in that setting, wouldn't you? Wouldn't it be great with churches like that? If the people were just packed in here. And you know, I loved worship this morning. Worship was different this morning than it was from last week. Right. Did you notice that? It's almost like there was a shift in worship geared up. Great job, worship team. Right? It's like a shift up. I tell you, that it's much more significant than you realize. Right? You know, did you ever do you ever sing by yourself? Do you ever sing by yourself? Do you ever put on a set of headphones or earplugs and plug into the song on your iPhone and the song, this great song that you love, and you start singing it, you know, and you're just singing it out loud, and you got the symphony of music and sound in between your ears, and it's just coming out of your mouth. You know, I did that recently, and when I was doing that in the evening, my wife said, she says, "Sweetie, says, you sound terrible. You know, be quiet, right?" Did it ever happen to you? Did you ever notice how good you sound when we're standing, when you sing with other people? Did you ever notice that? You sound so good. We sound so good together. Amen? It's the power of our voice together. So pleasing to God when we worship Him. Lifting up the head. It's awesome. Awesome. God loves that. His presence comes down. Invades people's heart. Amen? Luke, almost done. Luke 14:23. Then the master told his servant, "Go out to the roads, country lanes, and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full." My house will be full. My house will be full. I want to say, no matter what church it is, no matter where it's located, in North America or in the world, every single church's goal is to be bigger. Do you know that? I don't know a pastor in our Lethbridge ministerial that does not want their church to grow. And I know that's God's heart, is He wants the church to grow. And He wants the church to be full. Why? Because the bigger we are, the more difference that we make, right? The more resources we have, the more ministries that we could start, the more creative we are, the more that we can do. It's amazing when we all pull together. You know what I call it? I call it the power of we. It happens when it goes from just me to we. To we. It's the power of our voice together. So much more powerful than just alone. Amen? Amen. God wants His house to be full. To be full. So I'm going to challenge you. Let God use your life. Let Him use your story. Let Him use your voice to extend that invitation to anyone, anywhere, anytime, so that God's house will be full. Amen? If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your awesome presence here. Thank you for the receptivity of every heart here to hear the word and to respond to it. Lord, I pray for those here. So maybe there's someone here. Maybe you're here today. And you've never responded to the invitation. Maybe you've kind of been that person that was too busy or occupied, or your heart wasn't ready to receive. But today you're here, and you're hearing the invite from God to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior and to come into a living, loving relationship with God and to receive this thing called the gift of eternal life. If you're here today, you've never invited, you've never received Jesus into your heart, I want to tell you, this is the day that you can make a decision to receive the gift of God, the final destination in heaven. You know, this is the greatest decision that you will ever, ever make. And God wants you to just surrender your old life, and then He can give you a brand new life, a brand new start, a brand new goal, focus, and purpose for living in your life. So if that's you, I'm going to lead you into this very simple prayer, but it will be the greatest, most life-changing prayer you will ever pray. In fact, let's all pray together. This voice, this message is going to be recorded. It's going to go on to the World Wide Web, and people are going to hear this message. And if you're listening to this message, you can receive Christ at this very moment. Let's all pray this prayer together. Are you ready? Let's pray this prayer out loud. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in You. I believe that You died on the cross for my sins. Thank You for shedding Your blood to pay for my sins. Today I invite You into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Now, I'm just going to ask you, you can keep your heads bowed. Say, if you said that prayer for the very first time, you invited Jesus into your heart, then I want you to raise your hand and just wave it so that I can see it. If you said that prayer for the very first time, do that right now. Raise your hand and wave it. Anyone here, raise your hand and wave it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. Thank you for this word, Lord. Thank you for challenging us, Lord. Lord, I pray that Holy Spirit, that when we get out there and we're on holidays and we're standing in line and we're in the marketplace, that we be reminded that we have an obligation and a privilege of sharing Jesus with every single person we come into contact with. In Jesus' name, help us to be aware. Use us in that way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us. Dave is going to come and receive the offering. Then we have one last song. Let's do it.
Good morning. I'm Dave.